Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hey everybody, it's Aaron Norris. We are back in studio this week with Rob Hahn. He is the founder of and managing partner of 7DS Associates, as well as the very popular blog Notorious ROB, where he opines on topics including real estate, technology, marketing, and strategy. And you even might catch him at some speaking engagements like Inman Connect, T3 Summit, and as well as local and state and national association events. Thanks for coming back, Rob.
It's good to be back here.
Yeah,
well, good to chat with you, Aaron.
That's right. And, you know, last session we covered a ton of, like, super nerdy data topics, and people are probably asking, like, who cares? In my experience, and I don't know about yours, the real estate industry tends to be about 2 to 5 years, depending on who you're talking to, behind the technology curve. Mm-hmm. And my biggest concern is that people aren't thinking sort of how to strategize and develop some tactics around the whole data play and where we're going. So we talked a lot about brokers and agents and information they own, the MLS system, syndicators, and then Zillow, Trulia, and Redfin, and how they're ranking more. So if you were a real estate professional in today's market, tell me what you're thinking as far as how they should be strategizing to get word out about their businesses and listings.
So let's be specific. I mean, as I know in some of the prep talk we talked about, most of the audience would be real estate investors, right?
Right.
Because when you use the word real estate professional, a lot of times, you know, that means brokers and agents.
And we do have a lot of agents that double dip. So they're realtors and they do investments. And we also have real estate investors that do their own listings to, it's part of how they save money. But got it.
So I think there are a couple things here, which is from an investment standpoint, and I've recently just become a first-time landlord myself.
Welcome to the club.
I know, right? I feel like the most important resource probably, I mean, and I know some of my friends in the business hate to hear this, but I think it kind of has to be the assets of the Zillow Group, right? Just because they're still dominant on the residential real estate side, you know, in terms of at least buyers and future buyers. And so something to think about is, they've got, 120 million page unique visitors a month now?
Yeah, and
there's no way, right, that those are buyers. Because they're just, I mean, the population of the United States is, about 360 million. There's just no way that all of those people are buyers today. Mm-hmm. I have to expect that a lot of them are probably renters, and depending on the type of investor you are, you know, that's going to be something that's pretty significant. So, you almost kind of have to figure out how to get things there. We talked a lot about, sort of the syndication and sort of the players in that game. Fact of the matter is, though, I mean, from a strategic tactical standpoint, there's nothing that prevents anybody, if the homeowner or the broker or agent going into Zillow directly and updating the property record, updating the listing record with whatever other information I want to propose, right?
Right.
So, obviously individual agents, individual brokers, it depends, sort of differs based on what sort of technology, what sort of infrastructure they might have, whether it's through the brokerage company or through the MLS. But at the end of the day, there's nothing that stops an individual agent, individual homeowner, individual landlord, individual property manager from going into that record and updating it, whether that's with more photographs, better photographs, more of a listing description, whatever else you think is relevant for, the renter or the buyer to see. And as a matter of fact, that is actually something that a number of the top agents that I know do anyway. So they might put the listing into the MLS and then go into Zillow and update it, to include whatever else they might want to include. Again, we're not going to go down the technology futuristic rabbit hole of things like Project Upstream and other data management utilities, what they could and should mean in the future. We're just talking about today, right now, as things stand. I would say that's the number one thing I think about.
Just making sure that it's updated on the different platforms.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And it's, the pain in the butt of that is obviously it's a lot more manual work.
Right.
But, to the extent that, I'm trying to sell my investment property or I'm trying to find, renters, I mean, it's just something I'm going to have to do or direct my property management company to do to make sure that I'm getting, the maximum exposure and the most amount of interest that I could. The second thing I would actually look at, most likely is, you know, we don't talk about it that much, but CoStar has been really active, you know, like buying apartments.com.
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually start to investigate what those guys have, CoStar and LoopNet and the apartments.com folks.
Hmm.
And then again, depending on who you are, depending on who you're talking to, I'd want to have a conversation with my property management or with my brokers and my, you know, the people that I'm using about what other technology they might have. I mean, to me, one of the most important things you need to be thinking about is sort of local databases.
Yeah.
You know, granted, with investment, you know, you could have, you know, especially if you think about disposing of the investment, you know, you could have buyers coming from China, for all we know, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of times, you know, the action is sort of with the other real estate professionals in your area, you know, even if it's local investment, and if you're not looking to dispose of it, you're just looking for tenants, you know, whatever the situation might be, you know, I, to me, a really good professional, broker, agent, property manager is going to have, you know, a pretty significant database of local contacts, right? Whether that's, you know, consumers or other professionals, other agents, other brokers, other people they're working with. So they could, you know, blast out an email saying, hey, you know, this property's going to become available. You know, who do you know? Let's start preparing. I mean, you know, email's not exactly cutting edge technology, but fact of the matter is, from a strategy and tactic standpoint, it still works. It's still valuable. It's still important. And I might look at, you know, that as one of the things that I look at, you know, when I'm, if I'm not the, you know, if I'm not trying to, you know, rent out or sell the property myself, if I'm hiring someone to do it for me, I might ask that question, you know, just how deep is your network and locally? So that's, I think, where I begin, and then we can start getting some more esoteric stuff if we need to.
No,
like drones and things like that.
Yeah, and every market's a little bit different. Like out here in the Inland Empire, unfortunately, our newspaper has really gone through some struggles, and it just got purchased mm-hmm. by yet another larger company. The Tribune did not win, but it's weird. I've been keeping track of like Facebook profiles over the last 4 years and how it's grown, but also the demographics within the profile. And just in the top 10 cities in the Inland Empire, there are more profiles with the age group 65 and older than there are entire in daily circulation of our local paper. So as I'm talking to realtors or investors who are trying to get the word out about their business, I'm like, you really have to be a little bit more granular and understand, like, if you get sold on impressions, if you will, you know, mm-hmm. the paper will say all day long, oh, this is the daily circulation. I'm like, well, when's the last time you've run an article or an ad right. and really gotten a conversion? And have you decided what that conversion is? You know, if somebody right. picks up the phone, to me, that doesn't count as a conversion. It's a phone call, but if it doesn't end right. up in a sale or a buy, you're sort of wasting a lot of money. So it's tricky. And I think a lot of us, especially small business owners, get really taken to the bank because they just don't know the difference. You know, Zillow, in my experience with Zillow, we've gotten a lot of eyeballs. You know, at one time, we have 30 to 40 properties listed at one time in our investment mm-hmm. department, and we're only listing. We don't work with buyers. Right. I can see on Zillow how many people are looking, but the actions right. that they take are so minimal. Like, so I don't spend Correct. Any money on Zillow. So when I've asked a lot of agents around town, you know, the vast majority of the realtors that I really expect said they've most recently gotten rid of Zillow and we're very excited not to pay them any mm-hmm. further.
Sure.
And a handful say, you know, it's a necessary evil and I get it and they're having good success. So I don't know, because they're all working in the same area, I haven't gotten to talk to them about why it's working for sure. some and not others.
Well, and I'm not sure that I know exactly the reason either, right? Because it's one of those mysteries. But my experience on this actually comes from, you know, years ago. So we may be, you know, dipping into ancient history. But one of the more interesting things about the real estate business, from a marketer standpoint, is trying to measure ROI of different marketing spends. And the reason for it is because it's really hard, right? Now, until we have some better mechanics or better tracking. So here's what I mean. Even if you are a brokerage company, and forget Zillow, right? You're just doing whatever activity you're doing, and you're trying to establish how many of my transactions, you know, close business, is a result of that marketing effort. And it's very, very difficult. I ran into this when I was a cold call banker and looking at, okay, so if we have this much impressions, which then leads to this many inquiries, right? Because that's a hard trackable number to say we have this many literally online web forms that were filled out.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those then result in some sort of a transaction? And I have to tell you, it was actually impossible to track it.
It's really difficult. Yeah.
Really hard, because the typical, you know, consumer behavior might be, hey, there's this cute house at 123 Main Street. I call the agent. That's a clear lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I go look at the house, and it's either too expensive or I don't like something about it. So I say, I'll forget that house. And then 6 months later, you know, after that agent has put in a ton of time, you know, quote, farming me, you know, making sure I'm aware of the new properties that's coming on. So they work with me for 6 months or 9 months, and then I finally get around to buying a house in a different zip code. How do you track that? Right? I mean, there's really no way of tracking it. So that's one thing. The other thing that's interesting is, you know, there's no question there are some professionals, brokerages and agents, that are making money off Zillow, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Chris Spikers and some of these, some of the larger sort of teams that have the systems and infrastructure and workflow processes to really deal with the volume and the quality or lack thereof of online leads, they're able to make it work. For the small business, for the small investor, I don't know if that's realistic. To me, that's just not a game. You know, that's really worth playing unless you're able to play it in a really big way.
Yeah.
Having said that, I mean, the fact is, you hear the complaints from agents themselves that say something to me. You know, they'll say, you know, my client calls me and says the Zestimate on this house is this. Why am I paying that? You know, and I have to correct them. I have to educate them. Well, yeah, that's true, except that it means that they've looked at it, right?
Yeah.
And this isn't just Zillow. I mean, one of the funny things about RedFin is the number of agents that I've spoken to over the years who say things like, I tell my clients to go to Redfin because they have the best website or they have the best mobile app or what have you, because I'm confident that after they've done all the research themselves, they'll come back to me. Right? So that I get the call from my client that says, I just found, you know, this house on Redfin. You know, can we go look at it? So as far as Redfin's concerned, you know, that doesn't track us anything. That doesn't register as anything, right?
Right.
Because it's not like the agent, so the buyer agent that's now contacting you, saying, hey, Aaron, you know, my client wants to look at 123 Main Street. Unless you have a really good relationship, and unless, I guess, you make a point of asking, so where did your buyer find out about this house? You know, they're not likely to say, oh, they saw it on your, you know, on your website.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Especially because just the way that things work in residential. So say I'm an agent, my buyer client call me and say, hey, I saw this house on Redfin. The first thing I do is go into the MLS to make sure it's real, right?
Right.
The first thing I do is, okay, well, is it still on the market? You know, are all the all the information real? So once I've gone through the MLS and checked on it, I don't know that I'm at that point still thinking about, well, my buyer found this on Redfin. Right? I'm just calling, you know, you and saying, okay, you know, my buyer wants to see it, and the whole conversation about where did your buyer find this? Did you find it for the buyer? Did the buyer find it himself? I mean, all that's just out the window. It just does not take place right now.
Yeah, the only way we've been doing it, we launched a CRM, a customer relations management system, about, oh, geez, it's almost a decade ago. We were one of Microsoft Dynamics' first small businesses to do in the cloud. It's been a learning process. But one of the things that allowed me to do is we have three very different audiences. And now that we're tracking exactly where they come from, at the very end of the year, you run a report and then you're creating that ROI by audience. We're getting a lot more specific. And we realized, hey, we don't have to give up every week in speaking at these engagements, so we can be a little bit more strategic in how much time we're giving up on the weekends. And, you know, like, hey, all my leads are coming from referrals. So, okay, do you have a referral system in place to really cement that relationship? It really makes you a lot more strategic in your outreach and stuff. So,
right.
I mean, the three, at least for the realtor department, relationship, right, I always hear is number one. You've got farming in the typical sense, like doing mailers. And then sort of the internet social media is sort of like a distant third. And I think just because most people just don't know how to approach it. So,
right.
And like I said, my personal experience has just been, you just need to keep it updated, because you'd be surprised, especially with stuff that was built in, you know, earlier than 1960, the information just could be totally wrong as far as bedrooms and bathrooms. And if the information is wrong in the system, that means the Zestimate is way out of date. You know, the Zestimate is only so good as, you know, the data available and everything they're pulling in. So at least showing up and updating it is just a huge benefit. But as far as advertising on Zillow, I think everyone just has to test that out and see if they can. Because I realize maybe Zillow, it's doing its job. Perhaps it's the agent's fault that they don't have a system to close and they're just really bad at it. I don't know.
Who knows what the story is? I mean, I do feel like, so this is going a little bit away from kind of the investor's needs, which might be a little bit different. Just, I guess the way I look at it is, so if I'm going to list my house for sale, you know, with an agent, I'm not expecting the agent to go and spend thousands and thousands of dollars promoting it. But it seems to me, look, I feel like at a minimum, put it where, you know, potential buyers are going to be, right?
Yes.
It doesn't cost that much. It's not that expensive. I'm not so concerned about, you know, especially as a home seller, I'm not concerned about how many leads you generate off of my house. All I'm concerned about is just expose my house. So that almost seems like just, you know, you need to do it for me as a service.
Yeah.
So again, it's a little different when it comes to investors and that aspect. But one something you said is super interesting, you know, as we put it in terms of Zillow's necessary evil. You know, some of the referrals are kind of where things are at and what sort of referral systems do you have. And then social media. You know, what's interesting about that to me is a big, big missing piece, which I think is particularly relevant if you're talking about property management related stuff for first-time home buyers or things of that nature, is there's the extent to which there's sort of a lack of follow-up post-transaction.
Mm.
And here, I mean, the fact of the matter is it exists with buyers, right? If I buy a home, you know, the number of agents will say things like, I'm your realtor for life and so on. But are they really going to stay in touch with me, you know, over a 7-year period? Because that's the period, you know, in between transactions.
Mm-hmm.
That's not real clear. And most agents, most brokerages do a very, very poor job of staying in touch with someone who's done a transaction. But from given your audience, and I feel like the real opportunity is when you're talking about renters. If I place a tenant, right, because those guys are going to, you know, be back in the market, whether it's in a year's time, because it's a 1-year lease, or 2 years, however long, and they're all at, I mean, all the stats, all the studies prove, everyone is renting one day wants to buy a house. Like, why am I not staying on top of that, right?
Yeah.
What are your CRM systems? What's the follow-up strategy? What's the follow-up systems? You know, I mean, if I rented a house through you, shouldn't you get in touch with me, say, 10 months later and say, hey, your lease is coming up in 2 months. You know, tell me a conversation about what you're planning on doing. And I get it, right? I mean, part of the reason is because you just don't make that much money in the rental side of business. But
right.
I feel like that's something that the residential side really could learn from the commercial side. Because in commercial, you do leasing not because, you know, it's a huge moneymaker, because you know that, you know, controlling the leasing means you control the property. At some point, you could get involved in the disposition or purchase, you know, of a, you know, $25 million office building. I mean, that's why they do it. I feel like it's something that the residential folks could really learn from.
I agree, and those are really different lists. I spoke at an event last week, and we were sort of talking about that, like, okay,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you're doing marketing, are you working two lists, like people that buy and then the renters? Like, so
right.
You've been sending mailers to possibly non-owner occupied people saying you want to buy their house. Well, they don't own it. So are you approaching them a different way? Or, you know, I don't think a lot of realtors, unless it's really pushed by the broker, even really understand what CRM systems are and how powerful they can be. And there's ways that you can get around it. You can run an Excel spreadsheet. It's not sophisticated, but man, CRM systems can do some really cool workflows that automate a lot of what we're talking about. What do you... we only got about 5 minutes left, and I definitely want to touch on some artificial intelligence stuff and some virtual reality on some technology things that maybe you're seeing out on the circuit that you think are just going to go big in the next 5 years.
So, you know, I've been predicting AI, artificial intelligence, going big, you know, for the last 5 years, and I've been wrong. So I feel like maybe, you know, my expectations are way ahead of the curve. But I remember when the IBM Watson came out. Right. And, you know, One Jeopardy. I remember thinking, you know, this thing is essentially just a, you know, just a question answering device.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why you couldn't have that be the call center, you know, for consumer inquiry. And then you can sort of take things to the next level in terms of where AI is today and where they're probably headed in the next 3 to 5 years. I think, without getting into a whole long thing about it, I think bottom line, it looks like this to me. Anything that can be automated most likely will be.
Mm-hmm.
So to the extent that a realtor or, you know, anybody, quite frankly, is doing rote sort of commoditized stuff. In other words, if all I'm doing is somebody calls me and says, hey, you know, tell me how many bedrooms does this have, you know, house have? A lot of that's going to be able to handle by AI.
Yeah.
Even things like the transaction itself, you know, the stuff that's just basic paperwork, you know, drudgery turning, you know, that's going to be able to be done by AI.
Mm-hmm.
Which then, you know, raises the question of what is it that a human being can do that artificial intelligence or computers or big data cannot do? And as far as I can tell, it has to come down to, is there information that cannot be put into a database? So, for example, if you happen to know that this home, you know, in the evenings, there's birds that gather above, you know, the house and, you know, large bird dump on, you know, something that really isn't going to find itself into the computer, right? You know, that you know that the winds really pick up during the springtime around here, and that house is going to be covered with leaves. It's that kind of like real insider knowledge, I feel, that a human being, a realtor, a real professional can provide that a computer system just can't, right? You know, does a realtor happen to follow economic development trends? Do they know that the, I don't know, the local economic development agency is actively pursuing, you know, corporate headquarter relocations to that particular area?
Right.
Or, you know, they're involved with the local like community organizations that, you know, on the negative side, it could be NIMBYs. You know, it's like, we don't want any development, you know. So you know what that's going to mean for housing. You know, are there things like that? In other words, I feel like from a real estate profession standpoint, it needs to really move away from data and information that computers can do better than any human being and really move towards insight and wisdom, which they can't. Or at least have a real hard time doing, you know, as of yet. Look, in 20 years, if computers really become like Skynet and, you know,
right,
we're living in the Matrix, that all could change. But, you know, right now where things are headed with big data, AI, all these sort of things, you know, virtual reality is cool, but I feel like, okay, it's just another walkthrough. It's still not going to replace, you know, actually stepping foot in the house to see what it smells like.
That's an important sense when it comes to a house.
Hey, it really is. Right? It's like, it could look great. You step in and all of a sudden it's like, wow, that's cigarette smoke and cat piss.
Yep.
But you're not buying that house.
Yeah.
So there's limits to that, but I do feel like the important thing for us as an industry to take away is anything that a computer can do better than a human being will be done by a computer.
Right.
Which means we really have to start thinking about what is it that I, as a human being, as a professional, you know, can do or have access to that a computer really, you know, can't or won't. And I feel like that's where we need to focus our attention now.
I agree. Building that niche and even being able to be on the creative side to throw solutions at a situation.
Absolutely. I mean, just, you're in the Bay Area, or no, you're in California?
Yeah, Inland Empire area, but Southern California.
Okay, so here, I mean, this would be something that I'd want to know. If I'm looking to buy a home in the Inland Empire area, and I'd want to know sort of where you think things are going to be 3 years from now.
Yep.
Right? Because, you know, I'm not planning on being there for just a year. I'm planning on living there for the rest of my life. I mean, computers are really bad at doing things like prognostication, right?
Hmm.
I mean, that's why we have prediction. That's why we have... Now, you don't have to stand behind me and guarantee. You can say, listen, I mean, here's what's happening. Job growth is happening in this way. Here's where industry headed in the Inland Empire area. You know, there's companies moving in to do logistics and warehousing, and that's a pretty big part of the economy here. I mean, those are types of things I feel like I, as a consumer, would have a difficult time getting a computer to tell me.
Agreed. And investors need to know that, too, when they're buying houses, because that can make a big difference. Okay.
Correct. You know, and I feel like it's that sort of intelligence and wisdom, really wisdom rather than, you know, an insight rather than data, because anyone could go look up, you know, what's been the job growth over the last 7 years. You know, that's past history, that data. Computers are really good at that. What I'd want from a human being, from a professional, is where's it headed?
Right. Well, we're out of time once again, but I really appreciate help. If people are looking where they can find you, where would you like them to go?
I'd say, you know what, my blog is probably the best place. That's Notorious Rob, and I think the best way is just to Google it, and you'll find it.
Sounds good. Well, thanks so much for your time, Rob.
Hey, it's always a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.